you're at the door. You're about to enter a world of heavy lifting, power lifting, strongman, and everything in between. Think you're ready for this? Let's see, tough guy. It's time for the RX Power Hour with your hosts, Nathan Payton and Ryan Bracewell. This is the RX Power Hour.
Welcome to the RX Power Hour on RXMuscle.com with your hosts, Nathan Payton and Ryan Bracewell. I'm very pleased to be joined today by our first guest, Stefan Solvi-Peterson, World's Strongest Man Competitor. Stefan, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. Ryan, I know, is to my left. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing great, man. I'm a little sore from this weekend, but I'm sure not nearly as sore as Stefan is. How you feeling, man, after that bench press?
I'm feeling, sore, of course. You know, I tore the pec a little bit, so I'm a little bit bruised, and
Yeah, I saw the picture on your Facebook. Your arm was all shades of purple. Does that hurt to the touch, or is it just blood that looks bad and doesn't hurt at all?
It doesn't hurt to the touch. It's just like in the pec area, but it seems like the bruising just goes down to the bicep.
Gotcha, yeah. So you definitely tore it. Are you planning to get that x-rayed or however they do that whenever you get back home?
Yeah, I need to get back home and like see my orthopedic doctor and probably get an MRI if they can fit me into the machine.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I guess that's always a problem being as big as you are. How big are you so the listeners can have an idea, like as far as your height and your weight?
Yeah, I'm 6'5", and this weekend I was 360 pounds, which is a bodyweight PR for me.
Now, tell everybody kind of what was going on when you ended up injuring your pec. What did you open up with? And then what weight were you doing when you ended up hurting your chest?
Yeah, I opened up with 475, which was really easy. Went to 500, which was easy as well. I think I did 520. And on the way down, it just tore and just fell on my chest and it hurt.
Now, did you have any inclination on the way down that anything was wrong, or not until the pain?
No, not really. Just kind of, just like 3 or 4 inches before I touched my chest, it just tore. You know, I didn't feel anything prior to that.
The weight feel heavy or light on the way down?
It felt light. I was confident.
Wow.
Now, is this your first time to suffer an injury like this before?
No, back in 07, I tore the bicep tendon off the bone in my left arm. You know, the typical strongman injury.
Yes. How did you do that?
Flipping a tire, of course.
The magical tire flip.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know some, you know, yourself, you don't do a lot of interviews in the States. And so I know a lot of our listeners are people who are mostly living in the United States. And I'm sure they're curious how you arrange some of your training as far as when you do your strongman events and how you set up your gym lifts, as far as like what you do on, you know, during the week, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, stuff like that. How is your workout arranged on a normal basis?
Yeah, I mix it up like really easy. I just like split it by body parts, like upper body and lower body. And then I only train events really, but I have like 4 days a week I train the events, and the fifth day I do like active recovery stuff and stuff like that. Then I rest for 1 or 2 days and then I repeat the cycle again.
Now, when you say you really only train events, I'm assuming you mean you still would do stuff like squats and obviously bench press. So how does that fit into your event training?
Yeah, I don't do bench that much, but like on an upper body day, I would do, you know, logs and axle or dumbbell and then maybe finish off with a little bit of narrow grip bench, just like as a tricep assistance.
Now, on the deadlift, how often do you find yourself doing your deadlift?
I do that deadlift like for 3 weeks, and then I do like a deload week. You know, you probably heard this, like
absolutely,
yeah, it works good for me. So because it's tough, because we're training so many events in the strongman thing, so you need to get your recovery time as well.
Now, it sounds like on your deadlift, you do what we would refer to in the States as something kind of like the Ortmeyer Magnuson routine, or you might just call it the Magnuson routine, where you do a, you know, 4 sets of 4, 2 sets of 2 on deadlift. And then, you know, after 3 weeks, you deload. Is that kind of what you follow?
Yeah. You know, I really don't follow any kind of a program. I always think of program as like guidelines. Because you can't really decide on weights at certain day with percentages, I think, because sometimes you have a really good day and sometimes you have a really bad day. So you have to train by feel, I think.
Stefan, that's actually a really good point, because so many guys will complain that they started out, you know, with their lifts for the day and things just didn't feel right. So they went ahead and shut it down, you know, and then they move on through the rest of the week with their workouts. So it's a great, great point that you bring up as far as, you know, kind of the percentages. The human body, you know, it's in a lot of ways, it's certainly not a robot. So, you know, definitely going by feel, I could see have its advantages for you.
Oh, yeah. And everybody just needs to, like, it's good to have a program, but you need to, like, learn your body and get that feel, you know.
Now, Stefan, this year, you know, you had a great year in strongman. Was there something you changed that you felt helped you move up so much and end up fourth at World's Strongest Man? Or do you think it was just your maturity in the sport?
Yeah, both the maturity thing. And actually, I went to Sidruna Savickas, the world champion, for a week in like training camp prior to Worlds. And that helped me a lot.
What kind of stuff did you learn training with him that you previously didn't know or understand?
Like, just to keep things simple, you know. People want to overcomplicate things a lot, you know, with just with the event training and being smart, you know. Not train too heavy all the time, but just, yeah, just get the, like, the feel for the... feel for the events, you know. Event training is so important, you know. I think many people train too much gym stuff.
Now, Stefan, you competed in, I think, around 13 events, actually, last year in 2010, 13 different contests. You know, with that many contests, plus your event training being your primary focus when you're in the gym, you know, is that something that you have to coordinate, or do you literally still go on feel on that too? Like when you came back from, say, the Viking Power Challenge, you know, did you immediately go right back into the gym and get on to, you know, back into your event training type of program, or do you actually take time off after the contest?
I usually need to take like 2 or 3 days off, and I would follow that with like active recovery training, get a massage, and then maybe one day off, and then go back from there.
Now, how vital is nutrition? You know, again, being in Iceland and things a little bit different from the States, you know, is that something that's focused on in the training over there that you do, or is nutrition, you know, kind of, how do you go about that?
Nutrition is really important, of course, and I think about it a lot, and I'm always trying to learn new stuff, and you know, trying to eat smart is the way to go. You know, you don't want to eat crap. You need to eat well to perform well, guys. That's important.
Now, with that in mind, you mentioned that you just hit a PR with your body weight, you know, here at the Ronnie Coleman. Was there anything specifically you did on your effort to gain that weight coming into the contest?
Not really. I trained little fewer events because, of course, this being a powerlifting competition. So I just think that,
right,
because I cut on the events training, I think that alone just gave me that body weight Yeah, I think it's just that.
Now, what is a normal day's diet? Like, I know you're in Texas right now, so you're not on your normal schedule that you might be when you're in Iceland. Like, when you're back at home, what would a normal day's diet look like for you as far as what you would eat throughout the day?
Yeah, like, I try to eat, like, I eat my eggs in the morning, eggs and egg whites, oatmeal, and, like whole wheat bread for breakfast with a little bit of orange juice. Then it's, I try to eat every day chicken meal, fish meal, and beef every day. And then I have like two or three shakes in between that.
Now, do you utilize any other supplements besides the shakes, creatine or anything along those lines?
Yeah. I use a little bit of creatine and vaccine maize starch. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Yeah, I like that now, stuff too.
Okay. Now, when you said you do a lot of event training throughout the week, how would you, like, what kind of events would you do together? Like, you know, do you try to arrange only lower body, like, say, stones and farmers on the same day? Or do you do, like, a total body every other day kind of thing?
No, I do, like, I split it, like, when I do upper body, I would do events, like, pressing events. And the lower body events would be, like, maybe deadlift, farmer's walk, stones, and maybe one event, like, sled drag or truck pull or something.
Now, I'm assuming you would maybe change up how you do your reps. Like, for example, when you do stones, do you come in one day just work on speed and then another day work on going to a heavier stone? Or how do you arrange that? I know you said you go on feel, but just in general, how do you arrange it?
Yeah, I do it exactly like that. Sometimes I just train stones like really light sets for speed. You know, just training the movement. You don't need to go that heavy that often, but you need to train for speed. And some other days I go like for heavy sets of 3 or 4, or maybe just heavy singles, or like a heavy stone over a yoke bar like they do with the Arnold.
Uh-huh. Now, do you train with Benedict when you're over in Iceland, or do y'all train in separate places?
We train at separate places, but sometimes we get together and train because he's obviously training for powerlifting and breaking the deadlift world record like he did. So it's not that often, but we used to train together a lot.
Who do you have a regular strongman training partner now?
Yeah, just started working out with the giant Hoffler Julius, who played second at the Arnold Amateur this year.
And is he's like 7 feet tall, I believe, around 400 pounds. Is that correct?
No, he's well close to it. He's 6'9" and 400. He's a really big.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, has he been training with you very long, or I've only seen his name this first time when he was at the Arnold. Has he been around for a while?
No, he came onto the Icelandic scene in 2009, but got like really serious about the strongman January last year, and he's doing really good. He's really enthusiastic about it, and he really wants to do good. You know, I think he's going to do great stuff in the future, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, he seemed to do very well in at the Arnold Amateur. I was amazed to see that the guy who beat him was so much smaller. I was just amazed to see someone that only weighed about 270 pounds could hang with a lot of these guys that are, you know, 350, 400 pounds.
Yeah, he was amazing. I mean, he did really awesome, you know. Nothing. Yeah, he was just unbelievable. You know, he was the best man there, no doubt.
Now, Stefan, how did you get started into strongman? Or was strongman your first sport, or did you do powerlifting first and then strongman?
I did powerlifting first because I knew John Paul and Magnus Wehr started out by doing that. But, you know, I've been interested in the sport since I was 4 years old when I went to a local grocery store in Iceland and I saw John Paul Magnus Rare doing an exhibition. And at the age of four, I just fell in love with the sport. You know, we came home and I asked my father how they could get so strong. And he said that guys needed to train. And I basically started training there at four.
Now, do you feel a little bit more pressure coming from a country with such big heritage in the strongman sport?
No, I don't feel that pressure, but I just feel, I think the hunger would be the word, because I want to add to it, you know, but I would call it pressure. I'm doing this for fun.
Now, Stefan, at your first competition, what was your weight at that time?
My weight would probably be in around 300, I think.
Okay. So you definitely added some considerable size, yeah.
Yeah, 18. I remember when I was 15, they took measures of all the kids in school. I was 6'1 and 250 pounds when I was 15 years old, so I've always been big.
Were you lean at 250 pounds when you were a freshman?
Always a little bit chubby.
Okay, because you're fairly lean. I mean, when I saw you this weekend, I had never met you before in person, and I didn't realize you were as massive as you were. I mean, I knew you were a big guy. All strongmen are big guys, but I didn't realize you were, you know, 6'5", 360.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good compliment, you know.
Now, and go ahead, Nathan.
Well, Stefan, you've also done the Highland Games before in the past. And how is it that you work your training in order to include the Highland events when you're doing that? Do you kind of switch off of the strongman events and switch more into the Highland Games? Or how do you go about that?
No, all my focus is on the strongman event. But I really love the Highland stuff, and When I'm training for Highland, I just like do I train the Highland Games in the morning and strongman events in the afternoon.
Now, I noticed when we were at the competition, you had some tattoos on your forearms, and I heard you telling someone that they were Viking rules. Can you explain a little bit of that for us?
No, it's like an ancient kind of like a poem, like 1,200 years old. It's basically about Viking ethics, which weren't all that brutal and bad. It kind of just tells me to be a good boy, and that if you have a good reputation, it will live on even after you die.
So it's kind of like a motto to live by, I guess you would say.
Yes.
That's very cool. At the competition, if you hadn't have gotten hurt, where were you planning on going with your deadlift? Like, what kind of weight?
My goal was, and I felt really confident about, I wanted to do 880, which is 400 kilos. That was my goal. But easy to say that after you got hurt, but, you know, that was my goal.
And what was the goal on the bench?
My goal was just to, I didn't really have a goal. I just wanted to, the guy who was promoting the show, he just asked me if I wanted to do bench as well. I just said, yeah, why not?
Wow. So you just decided out of the blue to do it. I'm assuming that means you haven't been training the bench press.
No, I never really trained. I don't focus on bench press, but I did it like... last 3 or 4 weeks before the show, just for fun. Like I said, I only do narrow grip bench training like after my overhead works.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think you'll be doing any bench press for a little while.
Oh, it's okay. I don't like the bench press.
Well, now, Steph- you know, I was just going to say, I noticed, you know, after your injury, you seem to have almost a good mood about the injury. Like, you know, a lot of guys, they get injured, they get really frustrated, really pissed off. You know, how did you keep such positive attitude about the whole thing?
You just have to, because there's nothing you can do about it, you know. Now my goal is to heal up quick and be smart with the recovery and come back really strong. And there's a big contest in September, usually the World's Strongest Man, and I want to be in top shape there.
Basically, I think there's a lot of people that are curious as far as, you know, with strongman around the world, there's different perceptions. I know that a lot of the Americans, you know, when they go to Norway, you know, it's a very big deal. It's almost like the Beatles have came to town. So, you know, in America, it's a little bit different. You know, some of the guys are well recognized, but it kind of depends on what part of the country the guys are in and if it's close to their home, if that makes sense. You know, in Iceland, how is strongman? Obviously, with the heritage that is there with the past strongman competitors, but what is the kind of what's the public's perception of you as an athlete?
That's a good question. It's even though we had like 8 champions in the past, it's not like that like mainstream in that way. But we get like television coverage and when I placed 4th at Worlds, I got some TV coverage and something in the media, but probably stuff that would be hard to get in the States. But that's probably just because Iceland is such a small country of 300,000 people, you know. But even though we're so like with the past, we've been so good at this sport, I don't think we get recognized like we deserve.
Oh, I completely agree. And that goes for any country.
I think probably, you might get more recognition than we do in the States.
Yeah, and it's sad because, you know, there's so great athletes coming up in the States, you know, is the big beast, Brian Shaw, you know, he's unbelievable. And you got more guys, so many strong guys coming from the States.
Yeah, it really seems like unless you make the finals at World's Strongest Man in the States, really no one gives a shit. You know, I don't even tell people that I know personally, you know, that come into my business that I do strongman, because they're like, oh, you mean you do World's Strongest Man? I'm like, I don't even want to have to explain to them that I'm not quite to that level yet. So I just don't even tell them I do strongman.
Yeah.
Well, Stefan, we really appreciate you taking time out. You know, I know you're on vacation, and we appreciate you coming on the show to speak with us. And, you know, and it was great meeting you this past weekend. So I hope to get to see you again at some other competition and you know, actually get to compete against you. It'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great. And I really appreciate guys wanting to interview me, and just all the best. And thank you guys who are out there listening.
Before we let you go, one thing, Stefan, is there a website or any sponsor you would like to tell your fans about? So, you know, to give them a website or anything like that?
Yeah, maybe cool to tell you guys that I'm starting really soon. I'm going to start with online strongman, like personal training through a really cool software. So if any guys are interested in getting coached by me, you can hit my website, which is www.stefansolvi.com. So, yeah, that's all.
Oh, awesome, man. Again, we really appreciate you coming on, and we hope you have a good time while you're in the States, and, you know, good luck this year, World's Strongest Man.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Healthy Chocolate is revolutionizing the way people think about chocolate. Using a patented chocolate-based delivery system combined with a proprietary herbal formula to give you 10 times the auric value of other well-known antioxidants.
Auric? What's an auric?
That's oxygen radical absorbance capacity.
Is that ejectable oral?
Just know that it's good.
I get.
Healthy Chocolate from UltraFit360.com is comprised of 70% premium cocoa, is sugar-free, and...
Sugar-free? Will this stuff make me crap my pants during ass-to-grass squats? Because if so...
Excuse me, no, if I may.
Good.
Healthy Chocolate uses no artificial sweeteners. The ingredients in Healthy Chocolate have been clinically shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels and...
Wow. Okay. When combined with GH, Slin, IGF-1, and various other peptides to conquer...
While we didn't intend to cause a revolution in the way the world thinks of chocolate, we nonetheless at UltraFit360.com welcome the dialogue that healthy chocolate has opened. Healthy chocolate. Fitness has never tasted so good. Visit UltraFit360.com today.
Hydrolyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydrolyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydrolyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydrolyze Ultra today. Visit HydrolyzeUltra.com. That's HydrolyzeUltra.com. P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 bread. RX Muscle approved. Shaker Pro has designed the most innovative shaker in the fitness and bodybuilding world. Shaker Pro is the only shaker where the powder and liquid are stored separately and mixed together at the exact moment you desire. Mixing occurs in the closed Shaker Pro system. That means no more mess, just a perfect shake, guaranteed. Preparation takes place anytime, anywhere, in the car, at work, or in the locker room. No need to transport separate ingredients with you. The Shaker Pro is an all-in-one solution for everyone with an active lifestyle. The patented Shaker Pro chamber system guarantees that the mixing and blending of the ingredients will always produce a perfect shake every time. Simply twist, shake, and enjoy. Find out more about the Shaker Pro at 4sportlife.com. That's the number 4sportlife.com. This is the RX Power Hour.
Welcome back to the RX Power Hour on RXMuscle.com with your hosts Nathan Payton and Ryan Bracewell. Pleased now to kind of start talking about a pretty exciting contest that's coming up that our own Ryan Bracewell has actually been signed up to be the pro in. Ryan, what have you gotten yourself into?
Well, basically, as anybody who's familiar with RX Muscle knows, they do a contest called Bros versus Pros, and their next competition is actually going to be in Dallas. And what they're going to be doing is a bench press. But in addition to that, they've decided to expand the show. And it's going to be a strongman competition of sorts. They're picking a single event, which will be a tire flip. And it's going to have the same basic feel as the bros versus pros. They've invited me to be the pro that will be competing. And, you know, At Large Nutrition has signed up to be the main sponsor for the tire flip portion of it. And they are going to be doing a $500 cash prize to the winner. And just like all the other bros versus pros things, it's going to be a winner take all. So what I've understood is it will be roughly a 600-pound tire, and it's going to be a flip for speed in 60 feet. It's going to take place on April 23rd at Metroflex in Arlington, Texas. So the original Metroflex. And in addition to that, we also have House of Pain has stepped in, and they're going to be donating, I believe, a gym bag and some sort of clothing. I'm not sure if it's an outfit or just a shirt or, you know, something of that nature that'll go to the winners.
Very nice. You know, Chris has some great products with At Large. You know, we had him on one of our earlier episodes, actually. It was a great guest, you know, going over some of the West Side stuff. So it should be excellent. Do you know if he's actually going to be there as well?
You know, I have not heard any of the details as far as that goes. I would think somebody from his company would maybe be there. But given that they're already donating the money, I don't know if they're going to spend any additional cash to be there, you know.
What do you want to place odds that after Andy Heyman does the bench, he decides to hop in and start flipping some tires?
I could see him maybe going out there to flip it a few times. I don't know if he's going to go out there and really try to flip it for the full distance. Because honestly, that would be kind of dangerous for someone like him, you know, who's not really trained to do it and end up tearing his bicep as a pro bodybuilder. It's not really a good career move.
Well, speaking of said point and torn biceps and tire flipping and the strain on biceps, Mr. Pro Strongman, what's your take on that?
I'm a little hesitant about it. I definitely need to train it some. I have not touched a tire for really trying to flip it. I mean, I've flipped Travis's 900-pound tire a couple times. I think I even flipped his 1,200-pound tire a few times, but not for multiple flips, kind of like a one-time deal just the other, you know, a couple months back. But other right. than that, I don't think I've flipped a tire since, I don't know, at least a year. It's not something I really like to do. I used to be fairly decent at it. I got second at Nationals, the first Nationals I ever did on a tire flip. You know, I used to be pretty explosive, but I have no idea mm-hmm. if I'm any good at it anymore. I'm significantly bigger than I used to be. So, shit, I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure I can flip a 600-pound tire for 60 feet, whether I'll win or not. You know, I guess that's part of the fun is the guys who are amateurs or not even strongmen can come out and, you know, take their best shot at me and see what they can do.
Excellent. Is there anyone in particular you'd like to call out? You want to issue a challenge to anybody out there? You know, get some controversy going?
Nah, that's not really my style. I like to just show up and lift, but you know, anyone's welcome. You know, like I've told the people at RX that invited me to be the pro at this, I'm hoping to be there. But, you know, we we've kind of mentioned briefly on the show before is, you know, I'm expecting a child and our due date is like 2 weeks after this event. So if the kid comes any earlier than expected, you know, I probably won't be there. But I'm sure I can find another pro strongman in Texas that's willing to take my spot to try to win $500.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I think it'll be a great thing, and hopefully the prize money will become even greater for it, and we'll, you know, take it from there, hopefully get some more events, strongman events in these Bros vs. Pros challenges.
Yeah, that's a very exciting twist that they've decided to put in. Love it.
Well, let's get back to our next guest, the new world record holder of the overall deadlift record, not just the raw, and none other than Benedict Magnuson. How are you doing tonight, Benny?
I feel great, thank you.
Well, you know, first we wanted to congratulate you on the record. It was, you know, being there this weekend, it was definitely awesome to see that in person. It was, you know, I think I've been looking online and pretty much everybody is saying the same thing, is that your lift is probably the most, basically the most amazing lift they've ever seen in powerlifting. It must feel great to have such an accomplishment, you know, on your resume.
I'm just very glad that people like it.
Well, I know one of the things that a lot of people have wondered is why you went from lifting with a suit to lifting all raw.
I figured out that if you want to be good lifting in the equipment, you have to train the equipment, and that means you have to take lots of stuff with you to the gym, and I just train for fun, and it's much more fun just to train to get strong than be strong in equipment.
Gotcha. Now, I'm also kind of curious. I noticed over the past maybe a year or 2 years, you really seem to stop doing strongman. Is this, are you done with strongman, or is this just temporary?
No, I just went for strongman because my friend wanted to do strongman. I decided to do it along with him, and then he got a lot better than I am. So I just keep to my own deadlift.
Well, and you're an accomplished power lifter. I mean, you're not just, I mean, you are the big deadlifter now, but you're also very good in the raw bench press and raw squat. Are you planning to do a couple full meets in the near future?
Well, I've got nothing planned. You know, I just, you know, this is just one of my hobbies, and I just train for fun, and I like training the deadlift more than the other two events. So I wouldn't say I'm really good at the other two. I'm just at an okay standard, I guess. But if I go for the whole total, I think I might want to do it in America.
Very interesting. Now, Benny, what is your deadlift training like? I know that, you know, in many of the interviews that I have read with you, you know, you're very adamant about you do these sports because you want to, not because you have to, not because, you know, almost that there's an inner thing that you're kind of focusing on with them. You do them to have fun. So with that kind of perspective, how do you train your deadlift? How many times per week?
Just as many as I want to. Sometimes I forget that I've trained that week, so I train again. And I don't know, I mean, you say that I'm very adamant about training for fun, you know. I've always just trained for fun. And then I just got really good, still training for fun. So everybody expects you to be really serious about it and not have any other hobbies and sacrifice everything to be good at one event or one sport. But in my case, that's just not the case.
Benny, I think that's amazing. And even when you look back to kind of, you know, when you were a teenager, I believe you actually broke your back skiing. And it's really amazing to think that, you know, the individual who just set the all-time record at 1,015 pounds kind of started into the sport for fun, but started with a broken back.
Well, I kind of just... Well, I used to play basketball, and when I broke my spine, I didn't play any basketball. I gained a lot of weight, and I just wanted to get in shape, so I tried to go to the gym, and the events that I found that burnt fat very easily were sprints and deadlift and clean and jerk, so that's all I did.
Now, when you train deadlift now, do you primarily just deadlift, or do you do other exercises that will help your deadlift as well?
Well, I mean, when I start peaking, thing is, I don't train deadlift that heavy all the time. What I try to do is just I try to get my all round shape really good. I try to get my whole body aligned, because I used to have a little case of kyphosis, I think it's called in English. It's like a curvature in the spine. So when I think I've gotten in really good shape and I can sprint and I'm very fast and all that, then I start bulking up. And it seems to me that the better shape you're in when you start bulking up again and start solely training for the deadlift, you know, your body all of a sudden gets more rest. Your body all of a sudden gets more weights put on every day and every week. And for maybe 8 weeks, all of a sudden you can deadlift 1,000 pounds.
Man, I wish it was that simple for me to deadlift 1,000 pounds.
Well, it is that simple. It just takes some time.
Now, the one thing I think, you know, of course your lift this weekend was amazing, and it was for the amount of weight, it was so fast. But one thing I've also seen online is everybody is kind of in disbelief at how you were able to just stand up and hold that kind of weight for, I believe you were probably holding it for about 5 seconds before you decided to slowly let it down. Do you just have a naturally strong grip, or is that something you've trained over the years?
Well, I kind of did that for my friend. I think I made a friend when I was in Finland, I think, last time. His name is Andy Bolton. And he was asking me about grip and what sort of grip training I did, etc. And I said to him, when I was younger, I lost my grip at like 800 pounds or 750. I don't really know pounds. And I lost my grip over and over and over again. And people just told me, well, Benedict, some people just have good grip and some people have bad grip. Maybe you just have bad grip. And I thought to myself, no, I cannot accept that. So I started doing like all sorts of grip training. Nothing worked. And then my trainer said, well, maybe you just need to rest your grip. So I started just deadlifting with straps. And all of a sudden my grip got really good. So wow. The only thing I do is deadlift with straps.
Yeah, I noticed that when you were warming up that you didn't you were using straps, I think, until you got to 800, I believe it was, in your warm-ups. I think I'm correct there.
Yes, might be correct, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting that you say that, because when, you know, you talk to people, whenever someone does have a bad grip, the first thing that people tell them is quit using straps, you know, to start, you know, just using their forearms to hold the bars, whether it be on deadlift or some sort of rowing exercise or anything like that. People always say, oh, well, stop using straps. You're being a wussy.
Yeah, well, I sometimes get that advice from people still.
Well, I think if you can hold on to 1,000 pounds, you know, whether you're deadlifting it or not, if someone can even actually hold on to that onto a bar, I think they don't need to take advice from anyone on how to improve their grip.
Yeah, well, I hope that Andy Bolton, I mean, I know he's been changing his routines a little bit. And I really think if he wants to, he can probably lift 1,100 pounds. I'm looking forward to see if he does.
Do you have any future goals for your deadlift record? Like, is there a... I guess, essentially, is this the heaviest you've ever lifted in the gym, or have you done more in the gym?
Yeah, in 2007, before I got injured, I pulled 470 kilos. I don't know how worth that in pounds.
That would be about 1035 in pounds.
Okay.
Man, that is a lot of weight. I mean, and it looked like you could have easily pulled maybe close to 1050 at this meet. Another, you know, 15 to 20 kilos more, maybe?
Yes, but I would be very tired today.
Oh, my God. Well, and that was the amazing thing is when you got done, you just kind of walked off. Like after you celebrated, you kind of walked off. You didn't look overly tired or anything, and you even came back and did 550 or 575 pounds for 22 reps after setting a world record.
Yeah, that was quite difficult though.
Yeah, that's a lot of cardio.
Oh yes. Anything like that.
Oh, Benny Ryan actually has mentioned as far as you gently setting the weight back down. And you know, the feedback that I have heard, of course, everyone's blown away by the 1015 coming up at the speed and ease that it did. But you know, I've heard, I think, equal amount of impress and awe in the way that you control the weight down to the floor. I mean, of course, you have to control the weight. That's the rules. But when you've got 1015 and gravity now working against you, trying to go back down to earth, and you lowered it at a pace that was unbelievable. I don't even think it made a thud when it hit the ground. Unbelievable. Did it feel heavy at all? Or can you at least lie and tell us that it did? Or...
Well, I don't lie. I'll just tell you the truth. I get all sorts of comments from people sending me emails that I'm really silly, that I'm going to ruin my back doing this, and it's kind of like a show off lowering the weight slowly. I mean, I honestly think it looks more cool, but the reason is I train on second floor.
What was that? You train on what?
When I train, it's on second floor.
Oh, okay. So you can't drop the weight.
No, so this is just how I train.
Well, I think in all honesty, it might actually help strengthen your back, because I know a lot of people talk about how doing negative reps, like say on a bench press, lowering it really slow, will actually help strengthen those muscles or increase the size of the muscles even more than if, say, you dropped it really fast. So that could honestly be part of the reason why you're so strong.
Well, whether it's a part of the reason why I'm strong or not, is that, if you practice flipping a coin, you'll get really good at flipping a coin, If you do it then with your left hand, you're not as good until you practice it a little bit more. Whether it made me strong or not, I'm just really good at it because that's the way I train.
Yeah. Now, I've talked, on the show, we've talked to several guys who are like bench press specialists, Scott Mendelson, Tiny Meeker, and one thing we've heard is when you get to the extreme poundages like this, like for the bench pressers, some of them have blacked out. They bust all the blood vessels in their face, basically, just from the pressure of that kind of 1,000 pounds. Do you notice things like that, like in your hands or your face or anything like that when going this heavy?
What do you mean, like bursting blood vessels?
Well, I mean, yeah, like blood vessels, or does it really cause a lot of pain in your hands, like the day after or anything like that?
No, I don't think I train that heavy.
Oh, I mean, even in a contest, I mean, does it cause any injuries? Like, obviously you can get injured lifting that heavy, but it doesn't, cause pains in your hands or anything like that?
Yeah, probably. But, I think, being a power lifter is kind of like being pregnant, you kind of get afterwards.
Right. that makes a lot of sense.
Now, Benny, I think that there's one thing that I wanted to touch on that I think is a little bit unusual as far as kind of on the American, I guess, side, as far as with the training. Is it correct that you actually like to kind of pre-fatigue your quads, doing like speed squats prior to actually deadlifting?
Yeah, well, it just depends on what sort of shape I want to be in, you see, because last summer I was going to, have some fun and do some strong one with my friends, and I did really bad because my thighs got really big and pumped, and I thought to myself, it's interesting. When I deadlift, you don't use your legs that much, not like in a squat. So I just thought, maybe if I just get my legs in good enough shape to handle all the strain on the back that is required for training, I can train maybe for 3 or 4 hours without getting as tired in my legs. So maybe 10 weeks before competitions, I just get used to the pressure on my quads and my hamstring, and then I stop doing squats maybe 5 weeks before the competition, and my deadlift goes up because, I can do more sets. My back can handle more. Does that make
sense? Very interesting. Yeah, perfectly.
Now, I know you've already said you kind of... go ahead.
It's right or wrong. Well, I have no idea whether this works or not. I'm always trying new things, This is just what I've tried two times.
Benny, I'm going to have to say that it works. So even if anybody out there wants to say it doesn't, until somebody's lifting 10, 15, trust me, it works. We're going with that answer.
I know you've already said, that you go by feel and just depends on what kind of shape you're in. But I know a lot of people out there would like an idea of what a normal deadlift session for you would look like. Do you go into the gym thinking I'm going to do a heavy set of five, or do you just go in and train at random, or is there some kind of schedule of any kind that you follow?
Well, I used to always have a schedule. And but then I just tried to mix things up a little bit and started to just use my feelings, like you said, and that just seems to work a lot better. So when I go into the gym, I just go with my head completely empty and then just train. I don't think about it.
When you did your, I think it was called the Night of Champions, when you set the 934 record, or 974, I'm sorry. were you training squat and deadlift all the time with squat and bench with your deadlift, or were you just deadlifting and just went to that meet and happened to do well on those other two lifts?
I'm trying to remember which competition this is.
I don't remember. I think it was sometime last year when you were, I think it was the same one you mentioned earlier when you were with Andy Bolton.
In Finland? Oh, yes. No.
Yes.
What I did there is that because, you know, what I did there, I remember this. I trained on Mondays, I trained squats and bench press together. And what I did, because, I mean, my bench press, I didn't try to improve my bench press at all. I just went up to 200 kilos, maybe for one rep, and then I just started squatting. And I worked my way up to 300 kilos and then did, you know, as many repetitions as I could continuously without having to completely get my knees erect or my legs erect. So I would go down and I wouldn't go up to a full lockout. You understand what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So I would go maybe for 3 reps, and on the 4th rep, I would have to lock out and catch my breath. And when I worked my way up to 8 reps, I would go for 3:10 and then try the same. And maybe I would do, you know, 3 reps, catch my breath, and do another 3. So I just kept my legs in really good shape. And then on Wednesdays, I would just come and I would do deadlift, maybe 150 pounds, and just do like 10 reps, 5 sets, and then just go home. And then on Fridays, I would come and I would train deadlift again, and I would do just think about the training as being exactly what I did on Wednesday, just with a lot more weight on, but very light. Do you understand what I mean? Just think about everything is so light, everything is so fast, everything is so easy for me because my body is growing and I'm getting so strong.
Okay, so really you primarily just worked on your speed going into the contest and you would kind of slowly work up your weight.
Well, the point I'm trying to give out here is that I was constantly thinking about the movement. You know, I would go in the shower and I would do a few sets there. I would go into the gym solely to do 150 pounds in deadlift, you know what I mean? Many people wouldn't bother to do that, but it's the thought behind it. You understand where I'm going with this? It's the nerve reactions.
Yes.
Because you think about recovering your nerves, you have to think about recovering your muscles, and you have to think about recovering your like internal organs, you know, all that food and everything you have to consume, you know, it tires out your body.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Benny, speaking of the food, a lot of people, of course, are going to be interested in your diet. Kind of tell us a little bit about that.
I hope no one's interested in my diet because it's terrible.
but that is a dieting plan, though. You know, there's guys that believe in, you know, more is better, you know, the seafood diet, you know, just calories, calories, calories. And then there's guys that go the other route and are more methodical with what they eat. You know, everything works, you can tell, you know, because all these guys are successful with various things. So which spectrum are you? Which side?
Well, you know, I am an eating machine, you know. I am very, you know, primal in person. I like to enjoy simple things of life, like food. And when I'm training a lot, I try to eat food that I like. I don't eat junk food necessarily. I just eat a lot. And then occasionally, you know, I diet. And being so heavy, it's very easy for me to lose fat. But being such an eating machine, it's very easy for me to get fat again, you see. So I just, in between, you know, these few competitions I do, I just, you know, lose a little bit of fat and try to stay more fit and don't think about my diet. you know, too much, you know, except maybe on Saturdays, you know, I eat healthy.
Now, is there a secret to the Coca-Cola that we always see you drinking during your training sessions?
You don't always see me drinking Coca-Cola. You know, there's a documentary being made about my old coach Stevie. He's a track and field athlete, and his camera crew just happened to be there whilst he was coaching me or helping me out, and I was drinking Coke at the time because he always wants everybody to drink Coke because he says, like, in the 70s when he was at his best, you know, athletes drank Coca-Cola.
And you mentioned earlier that you don't always focus on powerlifting. You know, you have a lot of other hobbies in life. What kind of things do you do in Iceland, like for fun?
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't think I focus on powerlifting at all. You know, but you know, I enjoy hunting. I think I might compete in drag racing this year, and you know, I like spending time in my garage.
No, in your garage, do you mean like with your truck? I saw a picture of it online. It was pretty awesome looking.
Yeah, I sold it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was a big old truck, man.
Yeah, I know. I fell in love with it. It was so extreme. I got it. I wanted to take my friend that's hosting me whilst I'm in Texas. I wanted to take him on a glacier trip, and it's like the week he came was the week that my truck broke.
Oh man, how big of tires did you have on there?
46 inch.
Yeah, that's a massive truck.
Yeah, that's a big truck.
So if you got rid of the big truck, what are you driving now?
A Skoda.
A scooter.
I think it's a Ukrainian car.
Oh, okay, that's a brand of car.
Yeah, Skoda.
Okay, I thought you said scooter, which, like, in the States is like a small motorcycle, like a little bitty motorcycle.
I know what you mean.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
Now, Benny, what's your next contest? For some reason, I have it stuck in my mind that you have a contest like in a week. Am I crazy?
Yes, you are. But yes,
okay, that's good. Oh, you do have a contest.
Yes.
Are you deadlifting again?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Bench press and deadlift.
Wow. Are you going for another record, or do you just approach these things by feel? When you show up, whatever the body says is kind of the way you roll with it?
Yeah, if my friend Yanni feeds me really well, I might do another record.
Absolutely incredible. Wow.
Now, Benedict, are you still doing your I thought I saw a while back that you were doing online training. Is this something you're still doing?
I don't think I've ever done online training.
Well, I thought I saw. I mean, it could have been someone kind of using your name. I don't know, or maybe was it your wife that was doing training, like personal training or diets or something online?
No.
Huh. Yeah, I could have sworn that was y'all. Kind of feel dumb now. Now, do you have a website or sponsors that you would like to tell your fans about?
I have no sponsors and I have no website. I have a Facebook page.
Oh, okay. I would assume, you know, with your new popularity, you could probably make decent money doing online training, kind of like what Stefan was talking to us about. Have you thought about doing anything like that in the future?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You know, there are so many ways to make money in this world. I train for fun, and kind of don't want to take the fun out of it by making a career out of it.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, yeah, it really does. I mean, the more you try to get involved in it, the more it becomes a business, you know, like you're saying. And I kind of experienced that same thing when I opened a gym. You know, you go from it being something that you always love to kind of at times can be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I went pro for 2 years doing this strongman thing. But the thing is, you know, I never planned on doing that. That's just something that came along. You know, I went to the Arnold Classic and I did okay. And then all of a sudden I had like a contract and everything. And I had no idea what to do.
Now, you know, you've got to go back there and reclaim that Hummer tire deadlift record.
Yeah, I want to start at 528.
Have you thought about coming back to do that show again?
Yes. Well, that's why I'm trying to, you know, show people that I can do anything. I want to get an invitation to the Arnold Classic somehow.
I would think you'll definitely get an invite to the Arnold.
Yeah, I think all you'd have to do is let Terry Todd know that you wanted to come, and you could probably get invited.
Yeah. Well, my friend Hafthor, he went for the amateur strongman in Arnold Classic. He got second place, and I know he wants to compete as well. And I know my friend Stefan wants to compete there as well. So I'm thinking, how are the three of us all going to get there? Because I want three Icelandic people competing there.
Well, I mean, you never know. I mean, it could definitely happen. At any given year, you might see four or five Americans. So, I mean, I wouldn't think it'd be, you know, crazy to have that many Icelandic people there.
Well, I think it would be crazy because if you think about how few people live in Iceland, I think three people at the Arnold Classic would be kind of crazy.
If you're talented enough to be there, then I don't think it would really matter. But, you know, I guess that's for Terry Todd to decide.
I just hope we're all going to get really good because there are these two guys in Iceland. They are very promising, like strongman athletes, and I really, really want them to do really good.
Yeah.
So I just want to do it.
There you go. Well, Benny, we really appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us, especially after such a great weekend. I'm sure you're probably still happy about everything that went on. And, you know, I know you're about to go back to Iceland and wish you a safe trip back.
Well, thank you. I've had a great time here in Texas, being with my friends and meeting Brian and all of his friends. And tomorrow I'm going to go hunting.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I heard y'all gonna go hunting hogs. Is that
gotta
correct?
Be hogs.
Yes.
Well, that sounds awesome, man. Well, hopefully you find something good tomorrow night. And again, we really appreciate you coming on, and you know, have safe travels back to your homeland.
Thank you.
I definitely had a great interview going over with our two guests, Stefan Solvi Peterson and Benny Magnusson. I want to take this time now to speak with our resident, I guess, superstar here on the staff, Mr. Pro Strongman Ryan Bracewell, who was at this very same contest and who put up some very big numbers himself with an 800 raw deadlift, followed by a suicidal attempt at a deadlift for reps. And I guess I'll kind of let you fill me in on that one, Ryan, because that's got to feel awesome, going from an 800 raw to repping out 575 for 14 or...
Well, I don't know where you get this superstar bullshit, but I'll let you slide with like a resident pro. There you go. I'll let you do that or something.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, you know, for me, obviously, I'm not putting up numbers like Benedict or even the numbers Stefan was putting up. But, you know, for me, I did very well. I said basically hit both goals that I went to do, which, my previous best bench in a meet, which, again, I've only done one meet before, was 419. And my deadlift from that meet as well was 766. And both of them, I thought I had a little bit more left in me. This time I went for, I opened at 405 on bench or 400, one or the other, and it was really easy. Did 425 and it was still fairly easy. I think I had some more room in me, but I probably made too big of a jump. I don't train bench a ton, so it's not like I really know where I stand. I went to 450 and it felt pretty good. Didn't feel too heavy when I was coming down with it. You know, they were actually having a pretty good pause on everyone. It was at the very least a 1 second count. I would say on a lot of times it was even a 2 second count. So that bar was coming from a full dead stop on your chest. And, you know, I got it about halfway up and it just stalled out, which is kind of odd for me because usually I'm good on the second half. I have, you know, pretty right. good strong tricep press. And usually if I don't get it, like it's barely coming off my chest. So, you know, maybe form was off a little bit. I'm not a bench expert by any means. So any number of things could have happened and I haven't seen any videos of it yet. So, you know, I'm still happy with the 425. It's an increase from my PR at a meet. You know, I've done 455 in the gym before, but that's, you know, not really pausing. And then in the deadlift, opened at 725 because I just wanted to get something on the board that I knew I could get. And my goal was to hit 800, so I just jumped to 800. It went up really easy. I was really excited about it. And I think the combination of setting my goal at 800 and then going for 825 after watching Benedict go and, you know, and everybody's so excited and everything else, I think I was just kind of done for the day, really. I think my mental focus laxed. And when I went for 825, it was significantly heavier than it should have felt considering how easy 800 was. So, right. you know, again, I haven't seen videos of it. Maybe it was a form thing. I really don't know. I'm not going to make up some lame ass excuse. It just didn't go up for whatever reason. So I definitely think I could have gotten 825 if maybe I had set my goals a little differently, but maybe next time, you know, leave something for the future. And then afterwards, it was supposed to be 600. And I think the weights got set wrong. Sean had it wasn't his group of people doing the weights. I think it was volunteers that were doing the weights. And it just kind of happened that way. You know, I'm sure he wouldn't happy about it, but whatever. Everybody did the same weight, so it doesn't really matter. And it was either 550 or 575. And I ended up getting 14, and they actually felt super light at the beginning, despite already, you know, maxing out. And about rep 10 or so, I quit using my legs, and I started just basically bending over to you know, touch the weight to the ground and come back up. And as soon as I did that, I was done. My back was already kind of fried from the you know, the arch and the bench, and then doing raw max deadlift. And so by the time that was all done, I kind of realized I wasn't going to come close to 20, and I just said, I'm done. 14 is good. And I was plenty sore driving home because I finished the meet, said goodbye to everybody, did a quick interview, and went to the gas station, got a drink, and drove home from Dallas to Houston. So, I mean, by the time I got home, I was significantly sore, you know, in my low back from the driving and the competition.
Right. Well, and for those that don't know, you know, Ryan has an enormous four-wheel drive truck, which is kind of why he was, I think, touching base with Benny on his, you know, and those big one tons are ungodly stiff. So I bet you felt every armadillo that didn't make it across the highway all the way home.
Well, what was kind of interesting is my back didn't really hurt on the way home. Like, I mean, I felt fine. I just kind of stiffened up. What was really funny, and it's kind of why I was touching on this with Benny, is while driving home, I noticed my hands hurt, you know, from the combination of the lifting the weight and also just the knurling
yeah.
on the bar, rubbing against my hands, especially like on the reps event, just having to hold on to the steering wheel for 4 hours. It was just kind of bugging the shit out of me. Plus my hands felt all swollen and everything. So that's kind of why I was trying to get that question across to Benny. I was curious, you know, how lifting 1,000 pounds in your hands affects the pain or anything like that.
Well, apparently not, because he's got a competition again in a week. So
yeah. I don't know how he does it, man. I don't know if I could do another powerlifting meet this weekend.
How much downtime was there between the max and then the reps?
There was not much downtime between the max and reps. There was a good amount of downtime between the bench and the deadlift, but Benny did not bench press. But we started at 2 o'clock on the max deadlift, and we were finished with the reps by 4 o'clock.
Holy mackerel. Yeah, that's, you know, you're not going to find APF or, you know, Wobdell stuff that moves that quick. That's,
I think, well, he got a little bit of extra rest. Not that it makes that big of a difference because he didn't take his third attempt.
Right.
The record on his second attempt. And I think after everyone did their third attempt, we had like a 15 minute break. And then there were 8 guys who did the for reps. And I have to say, you know, and this is nothing against Benny at all, but I think if he didn't have the opportunity to be the last person going, he probably wouldn't have won. Because you could tell he wanted to stop, but you could tell what kept him going was knowing he had the number to beat, which that's part of being the number one guy at the show, whether it's strongman or powerlifting, is you get to go last. But the Orlando Green, who weighed, I think, maybe 230 and had a raw deadlift of 865, which is just amazing. He went right before Benny, and he bested the guy before him by 3 or 4 reps, I think, and he had 21 reps on the deadlift. So you could tell when Benny was going, he would, you know, he did like 10, then he stood up and rested, and then he did, you know, 5 more, stood up and took a couple breaths, you know, kind of like he was talking about with his squats. Mm-hmm. You know, he basically did that same thing, and he just kept going and taking a couple breaks every couple reps and just holding the 550 or whatever it is like it was, you know, nothing, no big deal. And he'd knock out a couple more. That was pretty interesting.
Now, this was your first contest that you have done with Sean Catterly. How did that go? I mean, he definitely looks like his whole thing is to keep these contests exciting and to get everyone involved. From what I understand, you guys were literally stealing the fans from the bodybuilding part of the show. Like whenever things would get going, you know, and the, you know, the powerlifting side would start making noise, like literally the bodybuilding side of the fans would come over and see what's going. And there might have been 800,000 people over there with you guys.
Oh man, when we were, I don't remember what was going on when we were doing bench, but I know when we were doing deadlift, especially when it was getting close to Benny lifting, we had a huge crowd. I mean, there were, all of the seats were full, plus standing room all behind us. I mean, literally everyone in the expo hall was watching. You know, people were standing on tables to see in video camera. And when he went for 10-15, it's kind of like at a concert. I turned around and all I could see was hands in the air holding phones and cameras, everything. It was pretty awesome. But as far as Sean goes, you know, what's funny is a year ago, me and him were having some, I don't even want to call it like a feud, but you know how things get said on the internet. Next thing you know, you're back and forth and pissed off at each other. And it's all childish bullshit. You know, and I was immature enough to get caught up in it and get pissed off. But, you know, we've kind of wiped the slate clean and gladly so because, you know, he runs a very good meet, you know, and I got to meet him for the first time in person. And you can really tell, you know, he has a great passion for the sport of powerlifting. I even when we were having our little spat last year, I totally back what he's trying to do with bringing powerlifting to its roots, I guess you want to say, with raw lifting. He's even talking about somehow trying to implement overhead lifts in his meets, kind of like in the old days when they did odd lifts. So he's really trying to do something, bring something back to the sport, which I think is great. And he runs a great show. Everything was on a good timeline. I mean, all in all, it's probably the best run powerlifting meet I've ever seen. So, you know. It was good stuff, and I'm glad I was able to attend, and hopefully next year I'll be able to do it as well.
Mm. Well, obviously, I think that's going to be amazing, you know, to see you kind of go back, and I wouldn't be surprised if Benny, and I wouldn't be surprised if Andy Bolton heads over. I mean, it seems like I've tracked this for about the last couple of times that he's gone ahead and done that, Sean, and each time you can see he gets more and more big name guys drawn to it. So, you know, KK coming over, who knows, but it looks like he's almost getting kind of like the Super Bowl of strongman, at least going, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of the best collection of lifters I've seen at a powerlifting meet. I mean, I'm sure there might have been better somewhere else, but to my knowledge, it's one of the better ones, at least in the States as well. And I also, you know, I know we're about to get off for the night, but I also wanted to say when I watched Brian Siders do his bench press, it was absolutely amazing. I've never seen 605, even 625, which he didn't get the complete lift, but I've never seen a 600-pound bench leave someone's chest or stomach, whatever you want to call it, so quickly in my life without a shirt on. Because he would literally bring the weight down. It was kind of weird. He has an odd technique, which I definitely could not duplicate, but he almost like kind of buries it in the upper part of his stomach. And as soon as they say press, man, that weight explodes off his stomach into the air. And I was talking to him about it briefly after the contest, and he said he thinks that's kind of what messed him up on the 625, because it went up as fast as his first opener, which was like 585. And he said he thinks that it almost comes off the chest so fast that it throws his form off sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so when he got the 625, he got it literally almost all the way up. He just couldn't lock his elbows because he had kind of contorted his arms in a way to where it wouldn't lock out. Like he just kind of got off his groove, as they call it. So, I mean, it was very impressive. And if anybody hadn't seen the video, I think it's on YouTube somewhere of him doing 605. And it's pretty crazy.
Hmm. Well, I know that I remembered when you had actually texted me from there regarding Brian, even with his opening lift, you're in complete disbelief as far as how fast he'd shot that weight up.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. I mean, most guys that are doing a heavy bench, especially raw, you know, they bring it down, they pause, and it may be quick off the chest, but it's not exploding out. I mean, his benches literally explode off of his stomach. It's crazy. That's
amazing.
Yeah.
Very good. What is the next contest up for you, Mr. Bracewell?
I don't have anything until August. For me, it's all about training and baby time. So
there you go.
I got a couple months, you know, month or maybe 6 weeks until my first child is born. And that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. So right now it's all about just training, doing a little gym lifting. Maybe come summertime, I'll start getting back into the events and getting ready for America's Strongest Man. Hopefully, if everything works out with travel and being a new dad and all that stuff, that's the plan, is America's Strongest Man and then the Olympia after that.
Excellent. That sounds like a very good plan.
Yep. Got to have priorities.
Absolutely. And like Benny said, you've got to have hobbies and you've got to have other things outside of the sport. Kind of what he was talking about reminded me, what's that saying? Don't let your hobby become your job, because then it will no longer be your hobby and you will no longer touch it.
Yep. No, I agree. And that's kind of what I realized. You know, I got a little burnout myself, you know, when I was trying to become a pro, is it became an obsession almost. You know, how do I do this? How do I modify my training? How do I do this? And I find myself doing it still, but I always try to just step back a little bit and say, you know what, just kind of like Benny said, just go train, you know. Mm-hmm. Quit asking questions on different message boards and calling people, hey, how do you do this? How do you just go train and have fun, you know? So.
Great advice.
Anyways, I think that's a good show for tonight. And, you know, I'm liking, we got a bunch of good guests lined up over the next couple weeks. We have a power lifter for next week. I don't want to give out the name yet, but just, you know, so the fans have an idea. And we have a couple of strongmen in the wings that are, mm-hmm. have been waiting to come on. We've talked to several people, several pros, and everything should be good over the next couple of weeks. So guys, make sure you keep tuning in.
Absolutely. And also, you know, let your friends know, you know, even if they're not necessarily into strongman and powerlifting, I mean, there's always training tips available for everyone, you know, be it the, you know, the regular Joe to the experienced pro. But, you know, we're also going to have on our first bodybuilder, pro bodybuilder, who happens to be extremely strong and well-versed in the powerlifting world. So, you know, definitely pass that information along to, you know, to your bodybuilding friends and stuff. Again, this is not just a show for one type of thing. There's something that can benefit everyone.
Yep. And make sure to check out our fan page on Facebook. It's just RX Power Hour. It's easy to find. We'd love to hear some feedback and comments, anything good, bad, in between, doesn't matter. But I think that'll... Go ahead, Nathan.
And since I keep getting bugged because I'm such an idiot, I guess I'll go ahead and give it out. You know, anyone with additional diet questions, or, you know, if there's any type of a service that you're needing from myself, you can visit my website, which is www.probodycoach.com. Fill out the contact form on there, and, you know, we can take it from there.
Sounds great, man. Well, this will be it for this show. Until next week, this is Ryan Bracewell and Nathan Payton on RX Power Hour, hosted
hosted by RxMuscle.com. See you next week.
You've been listening to the RX Power Hour exclusively on RxMuscle.com. For more great shows, visit RxMuscle.com.